Hi, welcome to Morning Manna. My name's Ron Rasmussen, and today I'm going to be sharing with you out of 2 Samuel 19. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you are good to us, Lord, in all things. And Father, you lead us and direct us and guide us. And we just pray that you do that now in your word as we go through it. In your name we pray. Amen. So over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about the life of David, King David, and it's a certain part in his life where he had an issue. Well, before that, he was doing well as a king. He was taking ground. He was getting victory over his enemies. And then he had a great sin with adultery and murder. And as a result of it, he had the consequences of it. And the prophecy came to him that the sword would not depart from your house. And it happened. His own son rose up against him and took his throne and kicked him out of his own kingdom. And so David had to depart. He had to take his men with him. And he had to actually come to battle against his own son and his fellow Israelites. And he won, he gained victory, but now he's at this awkward point where he's on the other side of the Jordan, and the very people that he just went to battle with, now he's got to become their king again, because he really is still their king. He's the one anointed by God. And so we're going to pick up there in 2 Samuel 19:9. And it says, "And all the people were arguing throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and saved us from the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out from the land from Absalom. But Absalom, who we anointed over us, is dead in battle. And now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?'" So this is kind of an interesting conversation that these guys are having collectively amongst each other as the nation of Israel. They're just saying, "Now, wait a minute. How did we get here? We had King David as our king. We were doing well. We were getting victory over our enemies. And then all of a sudden, we took on a new king. We kind of grabbed on to something different. And now he's dead, David's over on the other side, and we're kind of nowhere. And why are we not talking about bringing him back?" It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. It says, "When he came to himself, he said that my father's servants did better than I'm doing right now. Here I am with the pigs and the muck and the mire, and I'm scrapping for food. And my father's servants did better than this." And so it says he went back and he says, "I would go back to my father and ask him, would you take me in even as a servant?" And of course, we know the story. The father took him back in with open arms and threw a robe over him, put a ring on him and said, "No, I'm taking you back in as my son." And it's reminds me of our plight, you know, whether we've had a great sin issue or maybe it's just a thought pattern that became a fixation that's replaced the Lord in our lives. It's good to remember that whether it's a big or little sin, we can come back to him and has his arms open wide to us and he puts that sin away from us. And that's what we see David doing here. 2 Samuel 19:11, "And King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, 'Say to the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his house when the word of Israel has come to the king? You are my brothers. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring the king back? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do to me so do to me and more also, if you are not commander of my army, and now in the place of Joab. And he swayed the heart of all the men of Judah as one man, so that they sent word to the king, return, both you and all your servants. So the king came back to Jordan, and Judah came back to Gilgal to meet the king and to bring the king over the Jordan. So I want to stop there. And so you see this neat thing where David says, hey, we're one. You're bone my bone, flesh my flesh. Let's get back together again. And yes, I will come back and be your king. It's kind of a neat restoration thing. You can see it's kind of a triumphal entry, and it's a reunion, and all's good. But then there's this little note in there where he says, talks about, say to Amasa, are you not bone of my bone, or are you not my bone of my flesh? And I will put you, and God to me also, and if not, the commander of my army from now on, if you are not commander of my army from now on in the place of Joab. So now Amasa, he's saying, I'm going to make you my commander in the place of my commander, Joab. And he's done this once before. When David first took the throne, or first became king after Saul had died, the commander of the army of Israel was Abner. And he told Abner the same thing. He says, hey, you're going to be my commander. But Joab, his commander, killed Abner. And it's interesting that David now is putting Amasa in the same position that he put Abner in. And it's going to be bad for Amasa. And if you read ahead in another chapter, you're going to see it. Joab does the same thing. He kills Amasa. And so either David is either short-sighted or he just doesn't care about Amasa and what he's doing there. And I think part of it, is the reason why he wants to replace Amasa with Joab is, for one thing, it looks like a reconciliation thing, but he also wants to deal with Joab, probably for killing his son, as we talked about last week. And he feels like he could do it all in one, kind of kill two birds with one stone, but it doesn't work for him. And the reason why I point that out is because sometimes I think we can put David on a pedestal. Well, we say, well, we know he had that one sin with Bathsheba, and then he had the murder of Uriah. But there was more to it than that. David actually didn't have a real good insight in how to deal with this situation, or at least he didn't have a heart for Amasa. And so the reason why I point that out is that God is still faithful to use David, even in his shortcomings, his failures. He still uses him as king of Israel. And so I want to just encourage you today that God uses us, whether we have our shortcomings or not, and we do have them. So I want to skip down here because David's coming back in and he's getting greeted by a bunch of people, but there's one in particular I want to point out that he connects with, and that's Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel 19:24, it says, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had neither taken care of his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came back in safety. And when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, why do you not go with me, Mephibosheth? He answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said to him, I will saddle a donkey for myself, and I will ride on it and go with you. And I will go with the king, for your servant is lame. He has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is like an angel of the Lord, or is like the angel of God. Do therefore what seems good to you. For my father's house were but men doomed to death before my lord the king, but you set your servant among those who eat at your table. What further right have I then to cry to the king? And the king said to him, why speak any more of your affairs? I have decided that you and Ziba shall divide the land. And Mephibosheth said to the king, oh, let him take it all, since my lord the king has come safely home. So this is such a neat story, and we don't have time to get into the wrongdoings that Ziba did to Mephibosheth, but you can see very specifically here that Mephibosheth had a heart for David, and you can see it in his countenance while he was gone. He didn't even take care of himself. And even when David offered him half of that kingdom back to him, he says, I wouldn't even want it because you are back and that's all that matters. And it's a good place for the believer to be in when we realize that Jesus is all we need. So I just want to encourage you with that word today and hope you have a blessed day. Thanks.